Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Free Kick. I'm your host Jono and today I've got Mel with me. How you doing, Mel?
I am well. I'm excited to talk about Richmond today.
Yeah, it's fun that we are back into the club review preview series because I feel like we've been doing a whole bunch of other episodes and, you know, Richmond's an interesting team. It's one that I think we've been holding out for a while to talk about because there's a lot that we're going to get out of this interview later.
Yes, and in terms of that, this is fresh off the press. We've just come off, John has just come off that interview, just had a debrief about what this means for the fantasy analysis and ready to give you guys some Tigers insights.
Yeah, absolutely. But look, before we do, let's talk a little bit about Richmond's last season. How did they go?
Yeah, so they came in 10th, 5 wins and 5 losses for 100.8 percentages. In terms of what they've done in the off-season, they've had some pretty good trade-ins. We saw Ali Dalloway and Jody Hicks come across from GWS. They've also brought in the ruck Montana McKinnon from Adelaide, who we'll be talking about a bit later. And they've had a number of pickups in the draft. We've got Isabel Bacon at pick 13, Mackenzie Ford, pick 40, and we've got injury replacement player Imogen Brown coming in for Caitlin Cox, who did her ACL. So quite a few new faces, and we expect to see a couple of them make an impact pretty early.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting group, and it's. I feel like last season they were affected so much by injury, and so it's we've got all these major ins, but we've also got a lot of players coming back from injury, which is pretty exciting. But I guess on the flip side, they also had a few players leave the club. Do you want to tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, so in terms of who's departed, we had Megan Keeley retire. We had the interesting delisting of Jess Hosking, one of the Hosking's twins, who I didn't really see coming. She luckily got picked up by West Coast as a delisted free agent, but she was one of the major kind of outs. We also saw the delisting of Steph Williams, who didn't play last season, Sarah Darcy, and two rucks in Meg McDonald and Lily Pierce. I can't quite remember if Meg McDonald played last season, but Lily Pierce definitely did not.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, our friend of the pod from season 8 on our rookie episode, Shelby Knoll, who did her ACL and didn't get to play last season, she's still inactive, recovering from that injury. So that's also a sad one to see. Won't be debuting.
Yeah, they're absolutely brutal, these ACL injuries. I really hope for Caitlin Cox's sake as well that she's not missing two seasons just like Knoll has. But
yeah,
look, I think we've alluded to it a little bit, but I think this interview with Courtney Jones, I was really, really happy going on it just because there's so many questions that we had about how these new players coming into the side are going to, you know, fit in, and also how a lot of these players returning from injury, where they're going to play. So a really great chat that I got to have. I will apologize ahead of time. We had a few internet issues, so I'm hoping that the way that it comes through to you, our listeners, is not too difficult, but we're going to throw over to that now and hear what Courtney has to say. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Courtney. It's great to have you on the podcast.
No, thanks for having me.
How are you finding the return to preseason this year?
Yeah, it's been really, really tough. Obviously, with a few game change rules this year, we're obviously extending the quarters. So obviously the Ks and what's expected of us at training is increasing a little bit by a little bit every single year. But I think the team's coming in really, really strong and I'm really excited to get started.
Yeah. You've been in the unique position of playing for, what, three different teams in 2 years, is it? Moving from the Blues to the Suns and now Richmond. How have you found, I suppose, the movement club to club and how are you feeling being at Richmond now?
It's been very unsettling. Sorry, that's my puppy. He's broken his toe, so he's not having a good time at the moment. The move from Carlton to Suns was very, very different, but I obviously moved because I like the environment up there, and that was something really important for me. I'm a lot happier up there, but I think that's just because of the sun. I'm more of a sun girl than a cold girl.
Yeah.
But obviously the move from Suns to Richmond was really unexpected, as my sister was quite sick. But I think if I was to return home and play for a team, it was always going to be Richmond. I'm a lifelong fan, so it's sort of a dream come true for me.
Yeah, no, it's nice to be able to...
Sorry about him.
No, you're all good. It's nice to be able to join a team where, you know, you just feel so much more at home, I suppose, than others.
Yeah.
I guess talking about Richmond, last season was an interesting one because the team had been, top four back in season 7, really impressive finish there, but kind of slipped down to 10th place on the ladder and just missed finals. So I guess we know that you had a lot of poor injury luck, we were talking about before, but how was the club viewing last season internally?
It's hard for me to say due to the fact that I wasn't there the year that they did finish in the top four. And I do hear the girls talking about it a lot, and they're really passionate and really pushing and striving for the group to get there again. But I guess you don't really dwell on past seasons because you can't change it. You just need to stay in the moment. And that's something we really focus on as a team, just being in every moment as it comes. And then once that moment's done, you just put it in the past and focus on the next thing. So I wouldn't say internally they have been dwelling too much on the past. They're aware that that's not where obviously a team wanted to sit, as would any team, I suppose, in our position. But we're just really looking forward to this year. And I think we've got some big things coming and the team's looking really, really strong, which is exciting.
Yeah, it does seem like you've almost got, with an enormous amount of players coming in from other clubs, but also just coming back from injury, it seems like you've got a very rejuvenated list at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
A couple that have us pretty excited. One is Montana McKinnon coming in from the Crows, because she seems so talented, but was just sort of caught in that log jam in Adelaide. It's going to be interesting to see how her and Gabby Seymour and Poppy Kelly, I suppose, manage that ruck going forward. How do you see that going?
I think it's going to go really, really well. Like, the depth in our team at the moment is just outstanding. And even last year when we did have the injuries, having the trainers come in and form at their absolute best is just something we really pride ourselves on, having good characters around us that, you know, play the Richmond way, which is really exciting. Monty has just slotted into the team so seamlessly, and she's always pushing each other around the track. She's definitely just a really great player to have on board, and I'm super excited to watch her smash games this year. It's really exciting.
Is she going to be standing alongside you in the forward line, or are we expecting more in the ruck as a sort of more natural position?
I would say, obviously, first position is ruck, but obviously we all have our second positions. But to be honest, with how tall she is and how strong she could mark the footy, like, she's just such an aerial player, it wouldn't surprise me if she was taking marks all over the field. And she just has such a good tank and work ethic, so I'm sure she'll be clocking up some good K. She's a very good runner as well. She's prides herself on her gym and her running. She's also really strong too, so she's just an absolute unit, which is great. We love it.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see her out there in Richmond colours. Another couple of players that have come across from the Giants are Jodie Hicks and Ali Dalloway. Can you tell us what your first impressions of those two have been?
Really, really kind girls. They just fitted into the team so well. Hicksie's a bit of a jokester, which we love. She loves throwing banter at the team. And I think she came in just so confidently to just lead the team. Even, you know, doing our leadership votes, I know I definitely saw someone, I saw her as someone who I think is a really good leader for our group. Just how she sees the game is different to anyone else. She has, you know, such a high IQ in football, and she really shares that knowledge with the group, which is really good. And Dal, she's just a workhorse. She just runs all day, which is unreal. And yeah, I think all these players we've brought in, it just seems like they've been there for years. And I hope they've felt as welcomed as we feel they have just slotted into the team. It's really nice to see.
Yeah, no, you love to hear that. I do find that some of these players like Jodie or Hicks who've, you know, played a little bit of cricket beforehand, you know, when they're cross code athletes, and they just bring a different degree of professionalism. That's really interesting. Get a different perspective on every sport.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a testament to them to move away from home and really commit to a team interstate. Well, we all know how much they both love home. So really big move for them. And yeah, they're really taking it with both hands and taking the opportunity, which is great. It's a good challenge they've set for themselves.
When we're looking at Richmond, though, as I was saying before, it's not just the players that are coming in. It's also some of the players, I suppose, that are coming back from long absences. So one that we were really sad to miss last season was Ellie McKenzie, who seemed that she was 2 to 4 weeks on the injury list nearly every week. It was must have been so frustrating from her. But is she looking like she's going to be back on the park this preseason?
She's been out with us on the track, which is amazing. I think she's loving being out there as well. Obviously, last year was frustrating for herself and the team as well, because we really value her as a player and how explosive she is. And it's always nice having a really nifty player who can kick on both feet. But she has worked so hard this preseason. It's really great to see. She should definitely be proud of herself. She's really pushed herself and she's kept her body in good nick. So definitely hoping to see her out there when round one comes around. We'll see how she goes, but she's tracking really, really well. She's just so disciplined with everything that she does, and she really listens to the medical team around her. So yeah, she's hats off to her. She's done really well.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear. You were saying just before we started recording about the quality of the strength and conditioning team that you've got around you. And it sounds great that, you know, that part is just improving so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Having the likes of Jared and Eliza in the gym and on the field, they just have so much knowledge. Even for myself in the gym, Jared's been able to push me to some really big improvements in all my lifts and bike conditioning and stuff. So really proud of myself in that aspect. And Liza's just so knowledgeable with her super compensation and strength and conditioning side of stuff. They're just really, really smart and have so much knowledge. So we're really lucky.
I think there's a few more on this list that probably are very thankful for them. And that's someone like Tessa Levy, who's coming back as well, has also been appointed vice captain alongside yourself in the leadership group. Can you tell us a little bit about what role she's going to play this season?
Yeah, obviously Tessa is just an amazing athlete. Just the knowledge she has, even from having a basketball background, is just amazing to have around the group. And she's just a really calm person to have around you as well. And just her work ethic on the field is just unreal. She'll be one end of the ground doing some sort of contest, and next thing you know, she's popping up in front of you for a handball. And when you watch vision of her at training, she's just everywhere. So it would be really nice to have her back for games this season. It's been nice training with her as well. Obviously, I didn't get that opportunity last year as she was on the injury list. But yeah, she's a really great player to have back on the field.
Yeah, it's nice to have those two-way runners that just make you feel a bit safer on the field.
Absolutely. She's very reliable.
One player that I don't know if they've made their debut yet, but Charlie Ryan has also had such a difficult year last year. I think obviously drafted with an ACL, but yeah, you know, so he missed season 7, had bone stress to delay a season to season 8, and then had glandular fever. I don't know if I've heard of a worse fortune starting your career.
Yeah, absolutely. Charlie has been through so much as such a young player. Not that I'm very old myself, but just seeing how she's handled herself and taken all those challenges head on has just been a testament to her dedication and her passion to really play her role and look after her body for the team. You know, we talk about looking after yourself and putting yourself first, but when you're doing that, it's actually for the team as well. And to just see her come into training this preseason and really fly is amazing. Obviously, again, I didn't get the opportunity to train much with her last year, so it's actually really nice having all these players on the track looking really, really good.
When you miss 2 full seasons of footy, I can't imagine how that affects where you would end up training and playing in the next season. Would you kind of, where has she been sort of training as she comes back from this?
She's actually been training in a few spots. Obviously, they initially drafted her, I believe, off the wing, I think it was. But she's just so versatile. Like, match sim, if we need some extra numbers somewhere, she'll just get it done, which is so great. And that's most of our players. I'm not a backliner, but if we need a backliner, I'll push myself to learn that and do the best I can in that role in the moment. I think the fact that players are just prepared to do anything they can for the team is really important. And that's our motto, for the team. Whatever you do is for the team, and it's really important.
Yeah, no, that flexibility, so valuable. And there was one actually that we saw round 10 last year, which was Isla Sheeran sort of shifting from that back line into the midfield. And I've seen Mon Conti play, but outside of that, I don't know if I've seen a more exciting game from a Richmond player. It was brilliant to watch. Is that something we're going to see more of this season?
I think so. I hope so. I just love Ed's explosiveness. It's just insane how quick she is. And as soon as she gets the ball, she's already 20 meters away from you. It's very hard to lock her down at training. I find myself running around in circles trying to catch her. But yeah, she's also been training the house down and really taking care of her body and listening to all the staff around her to make sure she's fit and ready to go for the season. So it's just nice seeing how disciplined everyone's being with all their training.
No, it's wonderful to hear. And I suppose with yourself, you mentioned before that you've flipped around, you know, might flip around in defense if you need it, but you're one of very few players who's had a leading goal kicker at multiple clubs. So, I mean, how are you feeling coming into this season in this Richmond forward line?
Yeah, really exciting. We've got some really key players in our forward line, as the likes of Katie Brennan and, you know, the G-Train, Caitlin Greiser. But, yeah, I think I didn't feel as though I was as consistent last year as I wanted to be. So I feel like I had a couple of good games and then a couple of games that I wasn't too happy with individually. But, yeah, hoping for this season to be a bit more consistent. And obviously, with my sister being sick in the preseason, my focus was definitely separated. But it's been nice to be able to get back and focus on myself and my football this preseason, which is good.
Yeah, no, it's a challenging situation there for sure. Look, I mean, how does it feel to have someone like Katie Brennan running alongside you? Because as one of the premier leaders, I suppose, in the AFLW, I mean, having her support must feel so nice at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Katie's been a captain every year since AFLW started. So to have her knowledge and her leadership in the forward line is really good. There's definitely been times in a game where I've been in my own head and she's just pulled me aside and said, hey, what do you need? And she just listens and then does that. And I've found that as soon as she has said something to me or given me positive reinforcement, next thing I know, I've kicked a goal. So the fact that she can get her own game done and then get outside of herself and help those around her, that's exactly what you want in a leader. You want to bring yourself up to good standards, but bring people along with you. And that's what I think she does really, really well. She sets the standards and then drives everyone else to do that as well.
Yeah, no, it's really impressive to see, just find that connection piece just to bring everyone in. You'd love to hear that. There's also a few, I suppose, quicker, smaller players that are running around with you guys. And I suppose we've been trying to figure out what the Richmond forward mix is going to look like this season, because in addition to some of the talented players we've talked about already, you've also brought in a few young draftees and an injury replacement player in Isabel Bacon, Imogen Brown, and Mackenzie Ford, who I think they all bring different things, but it's notable that they're all quite quick. And so I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about those guys.
Yeah, they are super quick. And I think Mackenzie runs 31 Ks an hour, which is just crazy.
It's wild.
It is wild, but they have just embraced all the knowledge they've received this preseason. It's really nice to see. And like I said, all of our players are versatile. So we've definitely seen Brownie and Ken's up in the forward line running around, and sometimes they're pinging around in the midfield, which is great. Yeah, at training this year, I think a lot of players have really made a conscious effort to learn different roles if the occasion rose that they needed to be there. Because you just, like I said, you just never know. If we have a few too many injuries in the midfield, touch wood on the day, then someone's got to step up. So, and I also think to be a really versatile player means you're doing the right thing by the team and you're learning new roles, which is really, really good, regardless of whether you'll play there or not.
I feel like there's a few players already that you might have to cover, someone like Caitlin Cox, who's gone down with that ACL injury. I mean, that's one already that you're going to be covering straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Coxie was just such a workhorse and often took those quick, nifty forward line players. So it's nice to have these new players come in who are also really, really quick and can get the job done as well. It's really good.
We've gone through a lot of the leadership group so far this interview, but another one alongside you is recent AFLW Best and Fairest winner in Mon Conti. And I feel like even this week, she's constantly in the news, having just been signed, I think, by a new basketball team, it sounds like.
Geelong.
Yeah, Geelong United or something, I think I saw. But it must be so nice just playing alongside such an incredible athlete. How is it having her in the side, and what can she bring this season?
Yeah, absolutely. Mon has such a high IQ of football, which is really good. Definitely something I know that is a strength of myself. So I think Mon and I have made a very conscious effort to bounce off each other more this year. And it's really, really good. Like even on the weekend in the intra club, we were getting so competitive against each other. So it's really nice being able to challenge each other physically and mentally on the field with how our structure should be, what we need in the moment. But her leadership style works really well for a lot of girls. She also follows up with conversation afterwards, after the scenario on field, which is really, really good. But obviously all of our leaders this year are just amazing. Like to have Sarah Hosking, Katie Brennan, Tessa Laby, Gab Seymour and Monique Conti all in your leadership group. All those are just household names. They're unreal players and they're just amazing leaders and people as well, which is nice.
Yeah, no, it's a real terrific core that you've got there. You've got your first match simulation coming up this weekend. How are you guys approaching this game? Is it just going to be testing a lot of things out, or what's the thought process here?
Just testing our game, trying to play our structure, play our way. It's just a good opportunity to work on things that we've been doing really, really well, and then to be able to see how well things go against other teams. Obviously, in intra-club, it's a bit hard when you're both trying to play the same sort of game style. It can be quite chaotic at times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very excited to put it to the drawing board against Bulldogs, and we'll get a lot of learnings out of it and we'll get a lot of positives. There's always positive and RFIs coming out of practice matches. The big difference between teams is if you actually notify those RFIs and then work to fix them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we'll be aiming to do.
Yeah, no, exciting. It'll be good to see you on the park finally after such a long break
absolutely.
Between seasons. Yeah. Last question for you, probably our favorite one to ask. It's who have you been most excited watching this preseason and stands out as someone you think is set for a bumper season in 2024?
We did school visits today and someone asked KB that and she had my answer, Ellie McKenzie, by far. It would just be so nice to see her have a consistent season. Even that game she played for last year in Brisbane for us when we got the win. Just watching her play is just amazing. Just she's so powerful in her running. She's really hard to tackle and she's just got such a clean kick. So I think with the amount of work she's done in the preseason and the consistency she's held herself to and the high standards, I think she's in for a big one.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear. I think absolutely that game against Brisbane, she was phenomenal. I feel like she was such a presence in that midfield. So excited to see it.
Absolutely.
Well, look, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Been a pleasure having you. Good luck for the Tigers this coming season.
Thank you so much for having me. Sorry about my puppy. I hope he didn't ruin too much of the audio.
No, I'm sure it'll be fine. Appreciate it. All right, welcome back. Look, that was an interesting chat. I feel like there's a few positions that, you know, we didn't quite get what we wanted, but a few that we did. But also some great insights into how Richmond, some of those leaders that they have there and the phenomenal insights that they can bring on field. What do you think of that, Mel?
Yeah, I think so many of our interviews that we do are really fantasy-related questions, really trying to get to the nitty-gritty of where some of these players are going to be playing. But it's so good to have just these general interviews as well that are just fascinating to hear about, like, how the players, the leadership on the field interact with each other. So that's really interesting stuff to hear too. And I guess it's up to how well you manage to edit that as to how much enjoyment our listeners got out of it. But here's hoping without having heard the edited product.
Absolutely. Well, look, I guess let's jump into our top five most relevant fantasy players, because Richmond are a very, very interesting team this year. I think number one on the list is one that I have on my team. Do you want to take us through who that is, Mel?
Yeah, so we've got season 8 friend of the pod for Richmond. It's Isla Sheeran. She's a defender priced at 71. It makes her the third highest priced defender. So someone we've got to be talking about anyway, really. Sheeran is coming into her third season now, and she started with such a bang. She had a really big jump in her average last season. We saw her get some CBAs and some great scores at the back end of the season. But the question about whether she's potential for this current season 9 is about, I guess, how much midfield time she's going to be playing. Are we going to see some of those CBAs that she got at the back end of last season carry across? Is she going to be playing mostly in defence or running through the midfield at all? Can she bring us those great fantasy scores if she's purely playing in defence? I think that either way, we've seen enough from her last season so that she can be someone that you can lock in as a defender and have confidence that they're going to finish in the top five or so, especially when we're not going to be wanting a season with too many trades. And she's also really great to watch. Oh, yeah. And then also in that interview, I mean, if Courtney said she's probably training more so, or implied she's training more so as a defender, that could be good for us.
Yeah, it does sound like she's not going to be getting as many midfield minutes as we might have hoped. But, you know, there's always some pinch hitting opportunities to run through there. But honestly, she's got such blistering pace. And I think in that first season, she had, you know, records for intercepts. It was incredible to see. So she's one of the most talented players that we've seen really come in as a result of that large expansion that the AFL did all at once. And Richmond were kind of looking outside the box to find, you know, the next player. So I'm really impressed by what she's done. I think, is there a world where she doesn't end up as a top five defender?
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, outside of injury, I really think that she's a lock for one of those top five spots. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what could cause her not to. Like, we know when we interviewed her last season, she was really working on her versatility as coming in as a bit of an older player. Versatility helps you remain relevant in a squad. We know that Richmond are injury prone and probably training for versatility as well. So even if she has a weird kind of role shift, hopefully that's out of defence and into the midfield. But no, I can't really see much happening with her that doesn't leave her as a top five or so defender, which is why I kind of like the set and forget option.
Yeah, I think people out there might have seen we've just released an article on defenders, and in that you can see that she's definitely starting in my defensive line right now. Is she in yours?
Oh, mate, I've still not made a team. I have spent so much time doing all of this other podcast stuff that I have not yet made a team, but it is something I am dying to do, just trying to find a spare time. So I'll let you know.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You could have been waiting for this very episode, because I think this number two on the list is also one that is going to dictate a lot of structures. Who's our number two?
Yes. We were just chatting about the Rucks when we were doing our preseason ruck episode before, and I was saying how whatever strategy I choose for my rucks is probably going to determine the rest of the team that I haven't yet made. But this is looking like a high potential up there. We've got Montana McKinnon coming in as a ruck recently traded over from Adelaide, priced at 51. This is a really exciting opportunity because she was the second ruck essentially to Jess Allen over at Adelaide. But now that she's moved into Richmond, this frees her up to have a little bit more of that potentially primary ruck role. And the reason we say that is because the Tigers' original primary ruck, Gab Seymour, we've heard that she probably wants to play a bit more time back, playing as a bit more of a tall utility, which if she kind of walks out of that ruck role could leave the space open for McKinnon. As given the recent delistings and trades, it doesn't feel like she's really making way for Poppy Kelly to step into that role. And, I mean, we spoke about Montana McKinnon quite a bit in the ruck episode, but just to go over this point again, in the back end of last season, I think it was game 10 or so, she got an 89, because she attended 66% of the ruck contests, had 35 hitouts and 15 disposals. This was because she was essentially playing the primary ruck role at Adelaide. Jess Allen was kind of a bit more absent. If she can have games like that where she's primary rucking for Richmond, when she's priced at 51, that's huge. And one of the main questions we wanted to get out from Courtney was like, who's got the primary ruck role? Is it Gab Seymour? Is it Montana McKinnon? I'm going to read between the lines and hear what I want to hear and say, yes, she does.
Yeah, they're so good at being cagey in the preseason. I feel like a lot of these interviews, they're really holding the fence. But I also think it sounds like at the very least, she's splitting the ruck at the very least. But yeah, from what the running power that Courtney was talking about, you know, that marking presence that she can have all over the ground, I don't think that's something that you want to kind of leave in the forward line when they've got other forward line options. So I'm really excited to see Montana kind of running up and around, running around the ground. And I mean, if that score of 89 is, that's from a ruck split situation already.
Yeah.
So you can only imagine what her ceiling could be. It's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if Courtney interview had said like, nah, she's not it, then maybe I wouldn't go down that path, but I'm feeling more confident.
Now, number three on our list is a player that I think every single person opening up with this episode, they would have gone, they have to be on the list. There's no way that they're not. Can you tell us about...
I have a golden edition playing card from season 8 of Mon Conti pinned on the pin-up board next to my bed. I am a huge Mon Conti fan. That is the only AFLW player card I have pinned up as well. So it's really standalone up there. It is our season 8 W Award winner, Mon Conti, in third spot. She is listed as a midfielder and priced at 107, and she's just a beautiful player to watch. I mean, put her on your side just so that you get to pay more attention to her in AFLW Fantasy. In relation to the other mids in this bucket, the reason why Mon Conti is a really interesting option is you've kind of got your like primo mids in the tier one bucket of averaging more than 120, like your Marinoffs and your Garners. And then you've got the bucket of like averaging more than 110 with like Waddell Rowbottom. But right now in the bucket of people averaging more than 100, there's only really like Mon Conti and Anne Hatchard before you kind of drop down a little bit. So she's like the third tier of elite. She's not quite up, like she's got headroom to go, but she's coming in averaged more than 100. So like, you know that she's going to be able to do it again. I don't see her slowing down anytime soon. She's still young. She's so fit, and she just signed what to play for Geelong in the WNBL as well.
WNBA, yeah. No, absolutely incredible to have those cross-code athletes just dominate in multiple sports.
She's so good at footy. She's so fit. There's no reason why, just on like fitness and role alone, she can't put out 107 average. She has that really good kind of lock potential there because she could be an M2 or an M1 if you're going really underpriced in your midfield. Yeah, she had a really great jump in her average last season. She went up 20 points. I don't think she's necessarily going to do that again. We're not going to see like, well, I mean, maybe she goes up to 127 and what, matches Noffy? But probably not. Even if she keeps her 107 or goes up a little bit, I think she's a really good, strong, steady midfield option.
Yeah, I think it's rare that you see someone have a best and fairest season and then back it up with another extraordinary season. But I think another thing that sort of persuades me to look at this option a little more closely is the Eagles run to start the year, because they play the West Coast Eagles in round one, the Giants in round two, followed by Sydney and Carlton before, I think it's then in week five that they have their double bye round and they play Port Adelaide and North. So to me, it seems like an option really to sort of run it for the start of the season. Hopefully she puts up a lot of big scores. And then in the back half of the year post her bye, she could be one to move on when she starts to play some of these tougher teams.
Yeah. I mean, I think any role that Mon Conti plays in your fantasy side is going to be good, but I'm a little bit biased. But I did put her as number three because I'm being a little bit realistic.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the next player on our list, I think you may have even bumped her up on the results of this interview. Can you tell us a little bit about Ellie McKenzie?
Yes. So play to watch from Courtney Jones, which is exciting. The other thing I really like about Ellie McKenzie, and I've done a little bit of analysis in the team price lists, there's only a couple that flag this, but she is priced at 50 with an average of 61. So you do love to see someone coming in like that. Nice underpriced there. So Ellie McKenzie had a breakout season 7. She took her average from 39 to 58 as she moved from more of a half forward role into the midfield, which was very promising. And coming into season 8, we were super excited about this. However, we only got to see one game from her in season 8 before she went out with an ankle injury, which pretty much wiped her. We were quite looking forward to putting her back in our sides last season, but we kept getting teased with 2 to 4 weeks on the injury reporting until she would come back. And then she never did. She was just out for the rest of the season. So we're excited to have a fit Ellie McKenzie joining the Richmond side again with a nice low price stat. If she can jump back into the midfield, being priced at 50, that's fantastic, because when she was playing in season 7, she only fell below 50 points 4 times. So that means that there's substantial value there, at least 10 points increase on her average.
Yeah, I feel like she's one player that it's exciting to hear she's flying this preseason, because she may have only played one game last season, but that one game, like, what a game. She was so good in that round 1 win against the Lions, and
yeah,
that game almost pushed the Lions out of the top 4, even though they ended up being the premiers. Like, it was a really, really big performance when she's flying. The other thing is that with a lot of these people we're looking at from last year that went up, you know, a portion of their bump, like Monconti going up 20 points, she had a best and fairest kind of season. You can't argue with that. But at the same time, a lot of that does come from the benefit of these longer games. And we haven't actually seen Ellie McKenzie in these longer games yet, because she missed last season. So she's priced at 50. You know, I would have thought that there's already natural improvement on what she's done before, because, you know, fit and firing, it's always good to see. But you add extra games on that. Do we see, I mean, where do you see her ending up? Because I think it's potentially realistic that she goes close to what some of the other Richmond midfielders have been doing and puts up an 80.
Oh, I was thinking in my head like 70 plus. But yeah, I mean, could be 80. I guess, why don't I have her higher on the list? For some reason, I can't put my finger on it, but there's some kind of uncertainty about how she's going to be when she comes back. Got a little bit of caution around her. Maybe it's for myself being burnt by her last season. I'm not too sure. But as someone that's like season 8 agnostic, is she in your starting squad? Yeah.
She's not currently, but I mean, I was just thinking about it, that it's really hard to find room in the midfield because there's so many good options that we've got this season. But having just, I mean, literally about 20 minutes before we started recording, having heard from Courtney Jones that she's the player to watch, I'm just thinking, you know, you take one of your M3 or M4, more likely M4, down to someone like Ellie McKenzie, and you've got $500,000 extra dollars to spend. I mean, that could be life-changing in the forward line, you know? I'm going to be changing a lot of things when it comes out of this, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is Richmond is a fantasy-relevant side, for sure.
Yeah, and fantasy is life, which is why it is life-changing. Yes,
exactly.
In case that wasn't clear.
Literally saving lives with who we put on our starting squad. Which actually leads me into, sorry to throw to myself here, but like player number 5, which is also a midfielder for Richmond, which is Grace Egan. She's someone that last season, admittedly, no Ellie McKenzie, but last season was a good kind of duo there with Moncon. And she actually benefited pretty well from that. We saw her have a really good season and a really good increase to her average because of the points she was getting up just playing so closely with Moncon. We saw her get 2 scores above 100 last season, and her floor seemed pretty correlated with her time on ground. So that leads the potential that if she can increase her time on ground, increase her scoring. I would have thought she looked really good for that role, but then there was something influencing her lower time on ground last season. So, yeah, I think she's got good upside there, priced at 81. I think she could go higher. I mean, I think that she's always going to be a notch or two below Monconti, but if she goes up to 90 or so, that's a decent enough bump in the average. I think that Grace Egan, though, is a better option for a fixture matchup or coming off a low score, because We have sometimes seen her get pretty low scores in the 50s when she can't get her tackles up, so she could be one that you opportunistically grab there rather than someone you start with. Yeah, there's still a question mark.
Yeah, no, it's fair. I think it's a fair question because it was surprising with all the injuries last season that her time on ground was so low. So I'm wondering if it's maybe one of... We don't have particularly great injury reporting in the AFLW. You know, we only learned the other day that Emma Swanson had been carrying something for 2 years. So we could definitely have been that she was playing through the pain just to sort of keep bodies on the park. But also with players like Ellie McKenzie coming back into the mix, you know, it might be even harder to increase that time in the middle.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I guess that's an eye test, so practice matches we're going to have to keep an eye on for that.
So with my top five so far, we've had one defender and then four people in the midfield. Who have you got for us, John? Are you mixing it up?
I am going to take us out of the midfield. I did strongly look at Charlie Ryan as another midfield option to throw in there, but I think there's one player we have to talk about, and that is Katie Brennan. So Katie Brennan, captain of the club, one of the longest serving. I think she's been a captain, Courtney was saying, every year that she's been in the AFLW, which is truly incredible. Just one of the most consistent players that we've seen as a forward in fantasy. I think she's probably, in my mind, priced quite fairly. Like, I don't think at, what is it, $927,000, priced at an average of 71.6. I think that's probably what we're going to get from Katie Brennan. The thing is, this is a season where we really don't have a lot of top-line fantasy forwards. There's not a lot of value up there that we're expecting from these players. So if you look at players like Toogood, Hoare and Houghton, I think there's arguments to say that they're going to be a little bit worse than they were last fantasy season. I don't think they're necessarily going to be, you know, much worse, but you know, take Toogood, one of the most incredible seasons we've seen from a forward. It's very hard to back that up. Kate Hoare at Melbourne. Melbourne's had a lot of departures in the offseason, so that's something we're going to talk about a lot on their episodes. It's going to be hard to keep up such a high fantasy average. When we get down to Katie Brennan, I think Richmond had a very tough season last year, and so getting that 71 average amongst a limited forward supply, very, very impressive. This season, they've got a lot of players back. I think they've got a fairly easy fixture compared to a lot of the other teams.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a reasonable case to be made that the ball is going to be in and around the forward line a lot more, and she could benefit very strongly from that. What do you think?
Well, you've convinced me. I mean, that all makes sense. Richmond got to do better than last season. You've got a team that's hopefully going to improve and therefore kick more goals, and therefore you need your biggest forward.
Your big stars best to forward. Deliver, yeah. There you go.
By nothing other than the fact that hopefully Richmond as a whole do better and nothing else has changed, therefore Katie Brennan is fantasy relevant. This is one of the most like convoluted fantasy relevancies I've heard in a while, but I like it. It actually makes a lot of sense.
It's very simple. It's very simple. To be honest, my biggest concern is actually the reason why I would love to play on the same team as Katie Brennan or to have her playing for Hawthorn as a Hawthorn fan. It's because she's such a terrific leader. And we could hear Courtney Jones earlier talking about how well she does to play a little bit outside of herself and bring others in when they need it. It's that selfless, you know, handing off an easy goal that we just don't want from our fantasy players. That's the concern here. I want all of those 6 points. I don't want to give them away to someone else. So it's that sort of thing.
You don't get points for goal assists.
Exactly. It's just a little asterisk. It's a very minor one. Katie Brennan is already one of the veterans. It's very rare you get someone at her age kind of delivering higher and higher fantasy scores. But I think there's a case to be made that she's going to be a top five averaging forward come the end of the season. And I think there's a fair argument, if you're looking at Katie Brennan, of starting her in our sides.
Yeah, you're making me think I do want to do that. Interesting.
I guess that is pretty much going to wrap our episode on the Richmond Tigers. Mel, before we go, what do you think the Tigers are going to end up as this season? Are they going to be back in the mix for top eight, or are you a little bit worried about them slipping further down?
Oh, no, not worried about that. I reckon that they will come. I reckon they'll make it to the finals and go out on the first game of the finals. And that is purely from up my ass, because I have not thought about this in correlation to any other team except Richmond right now when you ask me that question. As someone that's probably thought about that in a little bit more detail, Jono, where do you see Richmond ending?
I fully agree that a return to finals is on the cards. You never know when it comes to finals. Anything can happen. But I think when I first was looking at Richmond coming to the season, I was not that hopeful. And then I saw some of the changes, some of the returning players. It's a good vibe. It's a very good vibe around the club right now. So I'm very hopeful. But
yeah, I think they've had their injury-affected season and it won't happen again.
Well, that's going to do us here. We're going to jump off. This has been Free Kick. If you want to find us on any of our socials, you can find us at FreeKickWPod on Insta or Twitter. And now on YouTube. Can never forget that one.
Yes. Please go like, comment, subscribe over on our new YouTube channel. In case you're wondering where to listen to us, yes, we do now have two Spotify streams, and we'll probably address this a little bit more. But our club review episodes will always be on our Free Kick. Actually, everything will always be on our Free Kick Spotify stream. So if you just want to follow one thing, go subscribe there. Everything will also be on our Free Kick branded YouTube, so you can get all of our pre-season and in-season content there. However, we are putting on a few episodes in the pre-season and our in-season content also on the AFLW Official Fantasy Spotify stream.
Yeah, we've gotten a few comments online now asking, you know, which one should we listen to? Really, it's up to you. It doesn't bother us in the slightest. As long as you're getting the content you want and it suits you, we're entirely fine.
So actually, listen to us on both.
Listen to us on both. Actually, that would be fantastic.
Listen to each episode twice.
Yeah. And then grab someone else's phones and do it again. That would be wonderful. But yeah, I think that's going to do us. It's been a pleasure having you on, Mel, chatting about the Richmond Tigers. We'll catch you tomorrow when we go through the Ruck episode.
Cool. Chat then. Bye.
Bye.